Diego, Bill Hendrick.
If San Diego State is all that, why aren't they ranked? You know, every year I see Boise State in there. Every year now I'm seeing Louisville. Every year I'm seeing schools that traditionally, you know, I know Louisville has been competitive in terms of college football, but, you know, I mean, San Diego State, Bud, your big team, right?
I like them too.
Yeah, Robert likes them.
Okay, both of you guys. Where's San Diego State? Every year I keep hearing about San Diego. What a program, San Diego State. San Diego State has never challenged for a national title ever.
Well, neither Boise State. What are you talking about Boise State for?
Boise State, man. Every freaking year I'm looking at Boise State as like at or near the top 20. San Diego State isn't. And here's Louisville again. San Jose State this year. I see San Jose State there. There's Boise State, like I was saying. There's Utah State. There's, you know, Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois is ranked 16th. When was the last time I saw Northern Illinois ranked at anything? And yet, you know, every year since the days that Don Coryell was down there, I would hear about San Diego State this and San Diego State that and San Diego State something else. San Diego State, excuse me, I don't mean to be, you know, disrespecting San Diego. I mean, although I think I will. No, I'm kidding.
Well, you don't like San Diego. Everybody knows that.
No, that's not true at all.
Yeah, well, you're always bagging on them.
I bag on San Diego in a good-natured way. I don't mean it in any mean-spirited way. I bag on them the way they bag on us. You know, calling us smelly and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, they also call, San Francisco the gay area instead of Bay Area.
Who does?
San Diego.
They call San Francisco the gay area?
Yeah. On account of San Diego's conservative and everything, they don't like gays.
Oh, get out of here. They don't like gays. It's a conservative city. There's no question. I'm not willing to concede to you, Bud, some mass homophobia down there, okay?
Well, Bud does have a point. San Diego's got a problem with blacks.
Oh, will you stop it? Look, whether or not the whole state of California is not as it seems. California, people like to think, is very liberal and accepting. And I got news for you folks. And I'm probably not telling people from out of state anything. I will tell people in state here in California, whoever's listening to me, whatever stations we have left. But California is not the end-all be-all of acceptance and tolerance. It's one of the most segregated states in the union. And Los Angeles leads the pack, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of just segregated communities. Not because it's like some Jim Crow thing, but it just, the city grew up that way. There's a black section of Los Angeles, there are white sections, the Hispanic sections, the Asian, and never the twain shall meet, man.
Well, that is very, very cruel of you to indict an entire city, one that has a very liberal reputation, and the film stars that live here. And I think it's wrong, Phil.
Oh, it's wrong for me to tell the truth? Well, it's too bad. I'm not blaming film stars for it. I'm telling you that's how the city grew up. But the point that I'm making, I don't want to get into race. San Diego State ain't nothing, all right? So would you stop with San Diego State?
What are they ranked this year?
I just got done telling you they're not ranked, okay?
No, we're talking about the Aztecs.
Yeah, the Aztecs. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah. What are they ranked?
Do you want me to say it again?
Are you stupid, bud? He said they're not ranked.
They're not ranked, okay?
Yeah, but, okay, last year.
I don't know about last year.
No, we're talking about the San Diego State Aztecs. What's their ranking?
Are you an idiot or something? I just told you.
He says they're not ranked.
That's impossible.
Is it impossible? I got news for you, friend. I'm looking at the AP Top 25, and there ain't no San Diego State here. Nowhere, no how, Jack. But Kent State is ranked 25th.
That's no way. Where's San... Give me that. Let me see.
Take my phone. There, I'll hold it up and you can look at it.
Where's San Diego State?
It ain't here, man. San Diego State ain't ranked. Will you quit? But I'm telling you, stop with your Pied Piper dream of San Diego State being ranked. They ain't ranked. Do you understand? They suck. Do you got it? I hope I'm, you know, getting through to you.
And you're trying to tell me that Kent State is.
I'm not only trying to tell you, I am telling you. See, right there, number 25, Kent State. All right? And see right there, what's that say?
Boise.
Boise State.
What's that?
A school. in Idaho that's ranked.
Bud, do you understand what Phil's saying? San Diego State's football team is not on the rankings of the teams.
Yeah, in the top 25. You're saying they're not there?
No, man, I'm not saying that. Yes, what do you think I've been trying to tell you? They're not there. You guys kill me. You San Diego State fans just slay me. You guys always think you cats are some kind of, you got a national profile. You ain't got diddly squat. You understand? Boise State has got more of a national profile than you cats. You know.
What about Brigham Young? Remember, are they ranked?
Brigham Young? Why are you talking about Brigham Young?
Well, you know, Brigham Young, everybody used to talk about Brigham Young. They ain't ranked now.
Well, okay, Brigham Young ain't ranked. What's the point?
You talk about San Diego State?
Let me explain something to you nuts. Brigham Young won a national championship. Whether you think they deserved it or not, whether you think that they were worthy of it or not, is not my interest. I'm just here to tell you, Brigham Young won a national championship, okay? Boise State is ranked in the top 20, okay? I'm just giving you the facts. San Diego State ain't none of that. They never won a national championship. They're not ranked in the top 20. They ain't nowhere, no how, okay? So read it and weep, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Are they going to play? Well, you'll get mad.
Are they going to play what? Football? Yes, I imagine they will.
No, are they in a bowl game?
I don't know. Who cares, man?
They've got so many bowl games, you'd be surprised if they weren't.
Yeah, they got to be in at least a bowl. Are they going to be in the Sun? What's the Sun Chip Bowl?
Yeah.
The Sun Chip Bowl? I have no idea. I could care less about the Sun. That sounds about as dull as paint drying. The Sun Chip. I'll tell you what I did watch the other day, and I thought I was going to... I would have rather hang myself. It was the Sun Bowl with SC. Did you see that stupid game?
No.
USC was in the Sun Bowl against Georgia Tech. Did I care? No. You know?
Yeah, but that's your favorite team.
I don't give a damn. Do I care about the Sun? Let me tell you something, man. The Rose Bowl, maybe. Maybe. And even now, I'm bored to tears with a Rose Bowl. The national championship game, of course. Everybody wants to be in that game. The Sun Bowl, I turned that on for 5 minutes, and I began to fashion a noose. Okay?
Phil, would you stop that? Because there are young people out there that might take your example.
And fashion a noose?
A zoo?
Yeah, you almost said zoo.
I was going to say fashion a Zeus, and I said noose.
What's that?
A noose, a thing you hang... Are you trying to tell me that I'm now influencing somebody to kill himself?
If they're listening to this show and they had the same reaction to this show that you had of a Sun Bowl...
Well, that's great, bud. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, it stands to reason.
Well, okay, thanks. So somebody's listening to my show right now, and they feel the way I felt when I was watching the Sun Bowl fashion a noose? Okay, yeah, well, go ahead, man.
Well, see, that's irresponsible.
No, I mean, what am I going to say? If you're fashioning a noose right now because you can't stand my radio show, please don't do that. You better just turn the dial. Just turn the dial.
Well, why didn't you do that?
Because I didn't think of it. Because I was stupid, I guess. All right, so does that finally conclude? You know, I'm not trying to say I won the debate. I'm not even saying that we had a debate. I just get tired of listening to you jackasses with your San Diego State this... And your San Diego State that.
Yeah, you're always talking about SC this, SC that.
Yeah, talk about a Trojan.
Okay, guess what? I have reason to talk about SC. They've won national championships. They get ranked nationally. They've got a good football team year in and year out. It isn't that they're just, they think they're good. They are good. Okay, yeah, they, you know, get into trouble with the recruiting and Pete Carroll's in Seattle and we don't care and that's fine. But the point being... They got a good football team. They prove it year in and year out. San Diego State doesn't prove anything other than the fact that they got a big fat mouth talking about how good they are. They suck. Do you understand? Suck. S-U-X. Suck. Tss. All right, we'll be right back. Well, sorry to have to put it on a bummer note like that.
Phil, that was that was unnecessary.
Well, all right, but you were egging me on. We'll be back with a look at Notre Dame and Alabama, a real game. Okay, these are real football teams. And there's the big national championship game coming up on Monday, and we'll take a look at it when we come back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Danny Phil State Hendry Show.
San Diego State's not going to play what?
In the national championship.
No.
This
is the Bill Hendry Show.
You know what, man? As long as we're talking about giving people crap, UCLA got their ass handed to them by Baylor. I mean, they got their ass kicked by Baylor. And UCLA was ranked 17th in the nation. So these rankings, you know, who knows? Boise State beat Washington. I'm just, and then here is San Jose State beating Bowling Green. SC, I don't even know what the score of that SC game was.
Did you talk about SC and the Sun Chip?
Not the Sun Chip Bowl. It was called the Sun Bowl. I don't know what it was. But coming up on Monday is the national championship game. Alabama is favored by 10. Are you loving that or what?
What are you talking about?
Alabama's favored by 10, man. They're given 10 points.
Are you nuts? Notre Dame has got... Notre Dame is every... They got Jesus... That's a Catholic school.
So?
What's that got to do with it?
Are you serious? They got, like, the Virgin Mary and everything?
What about the Virgin Mary? Well, let's talk some football, bud. Talk a little reality, okay? Get out of here with their Catholic school.
That's all I'm saying is it's Notre Dame.
What difference does it make, man? I got to go out and play the football game.
Yeah, but they pray and everything.
So they pray. So what? Don't you think the Alabama guys pray?
They're not on a... It's not a Christian... You don't understand.
No, you don't understand, man. Just because they're genuflecting before the Virgin Mary, that you know, with all due respect, that doesn't mean they're going to win the football game.
Well, don't you think that's at least worth 10 points?
Bud, look, you know, I don't know where you're coming from with all of this stuff, okay?
Quit talking like I'm crazy, man. Don't you think that's worth 10 points?
No, if I'm a gambler and I'm in Vegas and I'm standing there and I'm talking to other gamblers and we're betting the line and we're going in, I'm not going to say, hey, you know what? They, after all, the Virgin Mary's on their side, man. You know, I think that's worth, what, 3 points? That is not sense. That's nuts. That's just, that doesn't factor into what makes, you know, people bet on football games. Right now, all the money's going on Alabama. You know, it's kind of surprising to me, but hey, Alabama, you know.
Well, what about Alabama? You were the one that said that the SEC teams don't play anybody but each other.
I was quoting somebody else, so I don't even know what I'm talking about. Nearly every time Notre Dame was set to field a punt during the 2011 season, its designated return man was given one set of instructions: drop back, raise your hand in the air to signal a fair catch, and secure the ball. The accompanying thought, the hand waving back and forth might as well have had a white flag attached to it. Things haven't gone precipitously better in the Irish return game, despite some special teams coaching reassignments and players brought on with specific talents that could fill the need. Alabama at least has a hint of game-changing ability in its return game, and that makes for one of the most interesting dynamics of the BCS title game Monday at Sun Life Stadium in Miami Gardens, Florida. So they're saying that the return games of these two teams will figure prominently, meaning punt returns, kickoff returns, meaning the possibility of scoring points off of that aspect of the game. Maybe nothing will happen. Odds are, even with the Tide's explosiveness on returns, nothing will happen. But if something does happen, the entire game may swing on it. So they're talking about the return games of these two ball clubs. I don't know. But here's the point. Alabama's a 10-point favorite in that ball game.
You were talking about how Alabama is... They think they're all that because they're in the SEC, and they don't play other football teams, and that means that they're going to be fair game, be knocked off.
I don't know if it's true or not. I've heard somebody say that the SEC teams, there's so many teams in the Southeastern Conference, they wind up having to play each other, and they don't have time to play other teams from around the country. I don't think that that's necessarily true. But... college football being college football, a little bit more unpredictable and explosive than professional football, you know. But I got to tell you, man, there's a lot of really smart money that's on Alabama. Now, I've seen a lot of smart money go wrong before. And am I a Notre Dame fan? Yeah, I'm only a Notre Dame fan a couple of times a year. When Notre Dame's in a national championship and SC isn't there. Every year that SC plays Notre Dame, I'm an SC fan. I could give a crap about Notre Dame. And everybody that I know that I grew up with, that I went to school with, that's Catholic, they root for Notre Dame.
You're kidding. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Every Catholic I know in L.A. roots for Notre Dame when they play SC. And they also, they go back to South Bend for the game. It's like a real Catholic event.
What about you?
I don't care. I root for Notre Dame one time if they're in a national game. And I root for SC. Okay?
Yeah, but you're not a very good Catholic.
Oh, I see. I'm not a very good Catholic. Is that it?
Well, it stands to reason, Phil. Why don't you root for Notre Dame?
No, it doesn't stand to reason. It's got nothing to do with my religion. There's nothing in my religion that says I got to root for Notre Dame.
And yet, what you're saying, Mr. Henry, if you're going to be honest about it, every Catholic, what you know, they do.
Yes, sir, Mr. Dickman. Jesus.
Well, don't get bitter about it, Phil. If you don't root for Notre Dame, the question is that good or bad?
Margaret, I'm not going to burn in hell because I don't root for Notre Dame. I got news for you, okay? And I don't give a damn who you get on the line. Who's that?
Father McQuarters.
I just talked. Father, we didn't mean to get you out of bed.
No, I was listening to the radio. I heard what you were saying about Notre Dame. The fact that you're not rooting for them, no, it's not going to condemn you to hell. There's no question that you can root for any football team that you want. But as you know, we prefer that you band together and support Notre Dame as a university. And that would include supporting the football team. Now, if you want to root for Alabama, that makes no sense at all.
No, I got... did you hear what I just said?
Now, hold on. It makes no sense at all for you to root for Alabama. Because you know that Alabama has no respect at all. They've got no respect for the football teams outside of what you call the SEC.
Did you hear what I just said, Father?
What did you say?
I said that I'm rooting for Notre Dame because I root for Notre Dame if they ain't in any game against SC. I'll root for them.
Yeah, because you know that Alabama has no respect for any team outside of the SEC. They think everyone else is gay. You hear it over and over again.
Well, I've never heard that.
Well, you hear it over and over again. All these Southeastern Conference teams, they think everyone else is gay. And they think that the Notre Dame and SC, especially the University of Southern California, they think the University of Southern Queer.
I've never heard that, okay? That might have been the case once upon a time. I don't think it's the case anymore. I think they've got respect of other teams.
No, they think they're all a bunch of queers. And as a result, I can't have any respect for Alabama. And that's why I root for Notre Dame. And that's why I would root for Notre Dame against any team. And going to Bud's point, yes, the Virgin Mary, the players pray to Our Lady Notre Dame, Our Lady. So they pray for Our Lady of Grace. And they hope that Our Lady of Grace will bless the game and give them victory. And if you can't get behind a team like that, then why not question the faith and the Catholicism of an individual? You see what I mean?
No, I don't see what you mean. No, I don't. Just because those guys are praying to the Virgin Mary doesn't mean I've got to be a Notre Dame fan. So I don't see that.
You don't see that?
No, I don't.
So you'd rather root for this University of Southern Queers?
Okay, see, I knew that...
Well, I mean, you asking for it, having him on the air twice.
I didn't call him up and put him on the air. You guys did. All right, so anyway, Notre Dame and Alabama on Monday, and we hope you enjoy it. And I wouldn't. I was going to say I'd take the points.
Why not?
Because I won't take... I will. Just for laughs, I would. But anyway, Alabama favored by 10 in that ball game. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, online at philhenryshow.com. And we also have our podcast that's available over on iTunes. We have a daily podcast. Episode 100, we hit a milestone. We hit an epic. We hit the heights, baby, today. And so I guess that means tomorrow's is 101 with our 100th podcast. And this Phil Henry podcast has taken off. This thing has, we're breaking our download record every month with this thing. And
how many downloads you got?
I mean, we're in the hundreds of thousands now, hundreds of thousands of downloads, and every month we're higher and higher than the previous month. So people are, you know, turning on to the Phil Henry podcast, and as a result, we're rolling out the new design of our website, which is this, you know, week. So I would suggest that you get over and get a backstage pass to the Phil Henry website and enjoy our new design and new features, especially for you iPhone and your iPad users. at philhendryshow.com. 2013 is going to be epic. And just to prove to you that I'm not like most people, when I say the next 10 years, no, I don't think I'm going to be the same person in 10 years. I think I'm going to have evolved into something almost intergalactic. I think my brain, my cranium will be larger. I think I will have X-ray vision, and I think I'll be able to read minds this point 10 years from now. And our website will be better than ever. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Think you'll be able to read mine?
Yes, I think I'll be able to read mine. I already can read yours, bud, and it ain't pretty.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Which one?
The two-headed robot that floats. Everyone knows that. That's one.
Back on the Phil Henry Show, because these guys were watching the Twilight Zone marathon, was it?
Yeah, they had a Twilight Zone marathon all night, I think Christmas.
Well, everyone knows that the best one was the pig face. The pig face.
What?
The pig face, you know, we're talking about Twilight Zones, folks. You think that's the best one, huh?
Not only do I think it's the best one, it's hand everyone that you talk to knows that it's the pig face.
What are you talking about, a pig face?
The one where the lady's got her face bandaged up, and when they finally take the bandages off, she looks normal, and everybody's got, like, pigged up faces and stuff.
What?
You guys don't remember that one.
No, the one I'm talking about, this was classic, as a two-headed robot, and it gives a guy strength, right? And
I know that one, bud. That's not even near the best Twilight Zone. Are you out of your mind?
What two-headed robot?
The two-headed robot comes floating in, and he made a bet with himself.
The two-headed robot came floating in and made a bet with himself, and that's the one you call the best Twilight Zone in history.
That, to me, that's hands down.
You're out of your mind.
Well, what do you think it is?
I think, personally, the one that I related to...
Without the big build-up, Phil, which one? Without the big build-up, Phil.
Excuse me, but I'm getting to it, okay?
Fine. But you know and I know it's the pig face.
What are you talking about, a pig face?
Robert, are you listening to me? Did you watch The Twilight Zone or didn't you?
Yeah, I watched it.
Okay.
The one I liked was the one with the little boy and the prize fighter.
Yeah, okay, I know that one. But never, you know, Margaret's talking about the one where the lady, you know, she's in the hospital and her face is bandaged.
Yeah.
And she, you know, you're thinking you're looking at a woman who's having some plastic surgery because her face is really wrecked, okay?
Yeah.
You guys don't, this isn't ringing a bell, huh?
Not at all, man.
No, the one I like was the two-headed robot.
Yeah, that one and the Civil War.
Well, all right, but I mean, well, the one Margaret's talking about, everybody knows the lady's got her face bandaged up.
And she's got a pig face.
No, she doesn't have a pig. I can't believe you guys have watched The Twilight Zone. You don't know the pig face one. Everybody knows that one.
Well, what's the one you were talking about?
The one that I like was the one where the guys are astronauts and they land on what they think is another planet. It turns out they're in the desert near Reno.
What? You're out of your mind, man. That wasn't on TV.
Look, bud, don't make me hurt you, okay? Because already you're an idiot because you don't know the pig face one. Now you're trying to tell me that the one that they are in the desert, that doesn't exist.
I barely know that one.
Well, I'm telling you right now, all three of you people are nuts, okay?
Wait. Is that the one where the little boy is looking at a prize fighter? He keeps going, come on, you can do it, you can do it.
No, this is the one where there's astronauts. They go into outer space, they think. They land on what they think is a barren desert planet. They're lost on radar. The radar at Cape Canaveral, wherever the hell they launched from, lost them. And meanwhile, they've landed in this desert, and they think they're on some asteroid, and they think they're, you know, they've crash-landed. They don't know where they are, and they start walking and walking and walking, and gradually they fight over the water, and they wind up killing each other, and only one guy, I think, survives, and he realizes that they're actually near Reno.
That is ass. Is that a joke?
No, it's not a joke.
Well, the way you tell it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It ain't funny. Believe me, it wasn't funny. Because what happened was one of the guys was delirious from lack of water, and he came back to tell them what he had seen, and he tries to draw it in the dirt. And he's drawing what looks like a cross with two things, like, you know, and what he was trying to draw was a telephone pole.
And it was Reno, Nevada.
Yeah. You don't remember that one?
No, I don't remember that one, and this pig face, man, you...
Yeah, you must be thinking of another show.
No, it's not another show.
But you're, you know what, you don't know jack squat about Twilight Zone if you don't know this pig face show. You don't know a damn thing about the Twilight Zone.
Why, just because we don't know that one?
Everybody knows that one. So what are you talking about?
I'm talking about that little boy, he sees a prize fighter, he says, come on, you got to believe, you got to believe, right?
Yeah, I know that one, that was a cute one, I like that.
Cute? That's the best one ever.
No. The double-headed robot.
The double-headed robot. You two clowns came up with two Twilight Zones that are forgettable. I mean, yes, it was a good. They were fine, but they're not the legendary ones like the pig face and the guy that was in the desert and he thought he was in Reno.
Well, the way you tell it, Phil, you butchered it. You butchered both of those episodes of Twilight Zone beyond recognition.
What did I do?
The pig face and the one that the guy thinks he's in Reno. You make it sound like it's all a big... The pig face was one of the most... I think that was Donna Douglas at her best. Now we know the work she did as Ellie Mae Clampett. We know that work, and it stands on its own. There's no question. But...
Wait. What do you mean, Ellie Mae Clampett?
Is that the same lady?
You know Donna Douglas.
Yeah.
That was the woman in the pig face.
Oh, she was the lady in that...
Yes, she was Ellie Mae... The work she did as Ellie Mae Clampett is subtle and stands on its own.
Look, Margaret, with all due respect to Ms. Douglas, the work she did as Ellie Mae Clampett, are you trying to tell me that that's some kind of, great acting? I mean, you're right about the Twilight Zone.
Well, she played a very funny character.
No, I know that, but don't give me the stands on its own like the, you know, we're talking about some Laurence Olivier thing. But I didn't know she was... Yeah, you're right. She was the actress who had the normal face.
Yes, and, Bud, what we're trying to tell you is this girl who has her face bandaged up, you think she's got the face of, like, Hannah Storm after that gas fire. All right?
Yeah.
Now...
Well, wait a minute. Hannah Storm after the gas... First of all, folks, we never did finish that story. Hannah Storm was not disfigured. She got a first-degree burn on her face. She's back... did the Rose Parade. She's back in the saddle. She's doing her television. It could have been a disaster, but it wasn't.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Hendry, but if you light a gas grill and there's been nothing but gas building up and it explodes in your face, if you'll pardon the expression...
Yeah?
You're not going to look too good.
Well, I don't know, but the point being that Donna Douglas in this episode of Twilight Zone was normal-looking, and the doctors and the nurses all had a pigged-out-looking face, and you find out that this woman lives in some sort of an alternate universe where the norm is ugly, and being what we call beautiful is considered ugly. You see what I'm saying?
No.
Well, why would he understand the way you just said it?
Because I never had to explain this episode before, because everybody I know knows it, all right?
What about this one about the guy in Reno?
Yeah, what's that?
The guy in Reno. It wasn't a guy in Reno. It was a rocket ship that got shot into outer space, and they land in the desert, and they think they're on another planet, and they're not. They're actually on Earth. And it's only too late that they realize they're on Earth because they all died from beating each other up and fighting over water. And these were always the themes of the Twilight Zone. This was Rod Serling's favorite kind of theme. He loved the weaknesses and the prejudices of the human species, and he liked to articulate that in the Twilight Zone. He loved to see us, how destructive we could be when we didn't work together, how ignorant we were with each other, how prejudiced we were with each other. That was the Twilight Zone was about that. And how these astronauts, because they couldn't keep their heads about them and because they fought with each other over this water, didn't realize that they were actually back on Earth, that they were very close to a town where they could go and get help. But instead, they fought over this water and they were violent with each other, and I think they, you know, eventually did each other in until this one last guy is left, and just before he dies, he sees Reno City Limits.
That's that show.
What show?
Reno City Limits, man, you're talking about it.
And I'm not talking about any show named Reno City. See, this is the whole thing. I'm going to start to rethink having you guys talk about this stuff because I think you're too young. You don't remember The Twilight Zone.
Yes, I do, man.
No, you don't. If you're telling me about the pig face you never heard of and the two-headed robot, that thing just kicks ass. All right. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here with you. And after the show, of course, we will put up on our website our show log, which generally is where we discuss how the show went. Last night, the show log simply said Phil was in a really bad mood. Is that right?
Yes, that's all we decided to put there.
Okay, well, we'll have decidedly more on the show log, I can assure you, tonight. I'm pretty sure we will have more on the show log tonight because, you know, there's a lot more going on. Not that it's any more intelligent than what happened last night. And I can tell you, that's an argument you're never going to win. What's the best Twilight Zone episode? But I damn sure never met anybody that never saw the pig face one.
You keep saying a pig face one. You don't even describe it.
I just got done describing it for you, okay?
You talk about Beverly Hillbilly.
No, that was the girl in Beverly... Oh.
Forget it. Forget it. All right, PhilHendryShow.com for our show log. We'll be right back. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Didn't know that one. Welcome back, world famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, this is.
I'm a big Twilight Zone fan. I know you don't know. Now you don't believe it.
No, I don't believe it. But the one I'm talking... No, I don't believe it, because if you don't know the pig face one, you're just...
No, you that's prejudice of you, man. Just because we don't know one, you know. Say another one.
Another big one?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if this is a big one, but this is one that I thought was pretty heavy. It was the one where the guys are talking... There are two guys sitting in a men's club, like a gentleman's club, where they have brandy and cigars and that kind of jazz, right?
Yeah.
And this one guy was blah, 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 always talking. And the other guy finally says to him, you know what? You're the biggest blabbermouth in this joint. I don't think you have half the money you say you do. All you do is talk, yap, yap, yap. You'll never shut up. He says, I'm going to bet you. I'll bet you. And he bets him some enormous amount of money.
Oh, I know this one, yes. In fact, I know the actors that were, or I knew the actors that were in it. Josh Gibbons and Will Gibbon, I think, or something.
Josh Gibbons and Will Gibbon.
Yes, both the names were... They were names of... The reason why I know their names is they were like they were monkey names, I thought. Maybe it's not Gibbon.
Monkey names, I...
Ape?
No, not ape. Phil, grow up, will you? Everything is a joke to you.
Margaret, forget about who the actors were. Can I just...
Yes, go ahead. But I think it was Josh Gibbons, or Josh Gibbon and Will Gibbon.
Josh Gibbon and Will Gibbon. And they're not related.
No.
All right, well, in any event, these two guys are talking, and this one guy is just blah, blah, blah. So the guy says to him, you can't keep your mouth shut for a year. I'll bet you... this enormous amount of money. I forget what the dollar amount was predicated on, but it was some enormous amount of money. And so the guy says, I'll take that bet. He says, you're going to have to be here in the club in a glassed-in enclosure. You have to live here for a solid year. You can't say a word. We're going to have speakers that monitor you. So it was very, very controlled, okay? So he would be there.
So what if he has to go to the bathroom?
But I don't know, but he's in this glass. I guess he's got to go to the bathroom in front of the guy. You know, he's in this glassed-in thing. The point being that he was always going to be observed by the other members or the man that bet him. This guy's saying, I'll bet you can't keep your mouth shut for a year. But if you can, you win all this money from me. Guy's like, I'll take the bet. So the guy allows himself to be enclosed in this glass little, room that is can be seen by everybody in the club, and this is where he lives for a year. And he keeps his mouth shut for a solid year, for a whole year. And finally, at the end of that year, they let the guy out. And the other guy that said, I bet you can't do it, now he's got to pay up. And he comes to the guy and he says, you know what? You proved me wrong. You proved me wrong. You're the better man. I lost the bet. You were able to keep your mouth shut for a whole year. You didn't say a word. And unfortunately, I have to tell you that I don't have the money to pay you.
Yes, I remember this now.
Yeah, I do not have the money.
So he welched the bet.
He totally welched the bet. He says to this guy, I'm sorry, you're a far better man than me. But the guy's not talking.
Oh, man, I think I saw this one.
What happened?
Well, what happened was the guy that isn't talking pulls away this ascot that he had wrapped around his throat, and he has a scar on his throat. He had his vocal cords cut.
Oh, my God, and the other man...
The guy doesn't owe him any money.
What do you mean he doesn't owe him any money?
Well, he cheated.
Why is that cheating? The bet was, don't say a word.
Yeah, but you can if you get your vocal cord cut.
It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make it... Why would that make any difference?
It's just, it's cheap.
It is kind of cheap.
Cheap? This dude... He had his vocal cords cut. In other words, this man will never say another word again as long as he lives. And on top of that, he did that because this money was going to mean a lot to him. I guess he had to pay off a lot of debts or something. So this guy deadbeats him. He welches the bet, which usually means you get something broken. And there's no money, and the guy has lost his vocal cords because he had them cut. So at least that was the Twilight Zone that I saw that was very... spooky, you know.
Well, yeah, but I don't feel that sorry for the guy.
But, you know, I don't know what makes you tick, man. I really don't, you know.
Well,
I mean, a guy goes out and gets his vocal cords cut so he will make damn sure he doesn't say anything so he can win this bet because he needs the money. I would say that's a huge sacrifice, and there wasn't anything in the bet that they apparently made that said you couldn't have your vocal cords cut. So, in any event, that was that Twilight Zone. Insane, man. Insane world. Insane show. Fantastic show, though. I loved it. Teen boasts of drunken driving on Facebook and is arrested. This is from our ongoing file, folks, which is, if you say it on social media, yes, it's still against the law, okay? So, in other words, if you talk about it on social media, it doesn't mean that you are immune from arrest. If you beat somebody up, if you throw a puppy off a cliff... If you shoot somebody, if you do anything illegal and you are dumb enough to talk about it or show it on social media or on the internet or on YouTube, you can still be arrested. Okay? Do you get it? An Oregon teen posts a boast on Facebook that he has been tipsy at the wheel. He apologizes to the owners of cars he hit. Police are less apologetic when they arrest the dumbass. It's been firmly established by Randy Zuckerberg, no less, that Facebook is the home of human decency. How is it possible, then, that 18-year-old Jacob Cox Brown of Astoria, Oregon, did not receive the message? For according to KGW.com, Cox Brown had the indecent temerity to post this to his Facebook page. Driving drunk, classic, but to whoever's vehicle I hit, I'm sorry. This was indeed a classic example of misbegotten sharing. For police who had concluded that not one but two vehicles had been struck by an unknown driver now concluded that the driver was Jacob Cox Brown. How did they manage this? By the saddest reality of all, two of Cox Brown's alleged friends reportedly contact the law in order, one imagines, to restore human decency. The police issued a press release that read, quote, Astoria police have an active social media presence. It was a private Facebook message to one of our officers that got this case moving, though. When you post on Facebook that you have to figure that it's not going to stay private for very long. This is true. No, not long at all, as Randy Zuckerberg can attest. What is this Randy Zuckerberg thing? I don't know. Cox Brown has been charged. Am I missing something with Randy Zuckerberg? Anyway, Cox Brown has been charged with two counts of failing to perform the duties of a driver. These presumably include not hitting other vehicles. While Randy Zuckerberg railed that you can't trust your friends of friends, Cox Brown now seems to have realized that you can't even trust your friends. At least those who claim to be your friends on Facebook.
That was a very poorly written article.
Why?
Because he is referencing someone that not all of us may understand who that person is.
Well, I'm guessing that Randy Zuckerberg is related to Mr. Zuckerberg. The Facebook CEO's sister, yes, she is peeved that a photo she thought she'd posted privately is exposed publicly. And it's quite a photo. She's very lovely in this, and she has her legs... I'm just kidding. No, it's a picture of her sitting on a fax machine. No, I'm just kidding about that, too.
Well, what is it, Phil?
I don't know. Digital etiquette always asks permission before posting a friend's photo publicly. It's not about privacy feelings. It's not about privacy settings. It's about human decency. This was Randy Zuckerberg on Twitter, not on Facebook. All right, well, we'll have to read this in our own time, in our own way, in our own sweet way. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry, and Bud Dickman is here, and so is Margaret Gray and a whole host of people. And we hope that you continue to join us here night after night after night after bloody night on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget to get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. Now's the time, man, as we roll out the new design very, very soon of philhendryshow.com. Until then, y'all, have a very, very pleasant and rewarding today. We'll see you tonight. Let that be a lesson to you, whatever you heard.
Phil Hendry.